Welcome to Harvest World Assembly, where the word comes like fresh bread from the ovens of heaven. And as you listen to God's servant, Pastor Gwenga Shafe, keep these words as they purify you in this journey of destiny.
Let's start from there. Give me 14. No. I will get it out for you. 8:11. Now, listen to me. Jesus had taught his people, but he taught them in a parable. And it's amazing that Jesus, who came to the earth with the intention to bring people to understanding, did so. Can I have my face off? Did so by encapsulating. He kept his words coded in such a way that a man without a true desire to know who God is will keep looking at the letter and yet be falling short of the grace of God. And that's why many people are in church. Many people are, in the city of Lagos, and it seems that what we have today is a mixture. It's not really Christianity. It's a mixture. So when you look at it, sometimes it looks like Christ. When you look at it other times, it looks like something else. Because there are certain things about God, except the seals are broken. I don't know if somebody is listening to me this morning. Except the seal of the word of God is broken, and that which is in it is administered to you. You will be looking at it, but be getting different readings. So Jesus came, and this scripture of the sower and the seed is a major and an anchor scripture for this church. So you need to know the story or this particular parable, because it is the parable upon which this church is planted. One of the major scriptures. That's where we get the word harvest word from. The harvest of the earth, meaning the rise of matured sonship, sons and daughters, and the word of God. That word is not ABC. It's talking about the word of God. Now, when Jesus gave this parable, it's interesting to note that even those who were closest to him, sir, didn't really have proper understanding. Am I clear? They didn't have proper understanding of what he said. But this is what they were doing while Jesus was teaching. They were saying, go deeper. Preach, sir. You are saying something. Bara is in the house this morning. Bro. Yes, hallelujah. Praise God. Let me celebrate. Pastor Bara and his lovely wife. He has changed. Lola has changed his life. How many months have you been married now? 2 months? Is it two, 3 months? Two weeks? 3 months? Oh boy. This is not tell. You don't tell when you marry. We now send it to Bauchi. I finish on him. Praise God. Such a faithful brother. Hallelujah. Now, where was I? Now, see, let me tell you. If I don't have a personal tangent where I assess God, what is going to happen to me is that if there is a new trend in the market, you will just find yourself gravitating there. Do you understand? You will even sometimes know. You will just feel that is what is in the market now. That's what people are doing. Do you understand what I'm saying? That's what people are doing. And then you follow the trend. You will be trying to be trendy instead of saintly. You will just realize one day that you have gotten to a point. There is nothing of Christ left in you. Except that when people talk, you also open your mouth and say, I'm a child of God. Apart from that, there's no witness, there's no evidence, there's no fruit that Christ has. There's nothing in your life that God can look and say, I have achieved this with her. So listen to me. It is not when you get to heaven, and you know they told us you will be on a queue, even though I didn't see that in the Bible. But they say, look, for whatever is worth, we are going to be on a queue for in this contest. I didn't see the queue, but let's take it that way. It is not when you get to, now hear me. It is not when you die and get to heaven you will know if you have reward. It's not then. If you have reward now, there will be a witness in your heart. The church will not be surprised when Jesus comes. It is the world that will be surprised. He said he will come as a thief tonight. He is not a thief to us. He's our Lord. The word he will come as a thief in the night is the element of surprise for the five foolish virgins. It's not for the five wise virgins. Ah, I wish somebody heard that one. Because some people were waiting. They didn't sleep. They stood at Alala. They didn't know how it was going to happen. But somewhere in their mind, they told themselves, we die here. For them, there is no disconnect between... Pastor Crede, please come forward. Please let me appreciate Pastor Crede and his lovely wife. This was our chief planner of prophetic... God bless you. God bless you. Of prophetic convocation. Huh. And I have told him from our political block, he's going for a second term. And I prefer to be a number two than to be a number one with you. That's what one vice president said there. Now, stay with me. I have just 20 minutes. I have 17 more. No, I'm supposed to stop by 9:30. Huh? No, oh, is it the money people are looking for? Have you forgotten? You see, you cannot hold me to my words. Now, listen. I'm still going to stay. Look at that scripture. He said, for the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. That word thief and night is the element of surprise for those who are not among the five virgins. For those of us who are waiting, who are watching, that come Lord Jesus. Because that's not one of the prayer points. In fact, some people have never prayed that prayer. So, some people are just waiting to blow. Then they will come and help God's work. No man on earth has the capacity to fund the kingdom. I said, because some people call themselves kingdom financiers. Hear me now. That thing you say you want to use is... the Bible said the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. If God does not even see you as a faithful steward, he will not put his money in your hands. And this has nothing to do with being a millionaire. It has to do with a readiness of mind. Readiness of mind. There are people you talk to. Sometimes I call Pastor David. Oh, somebody said, give them 4,000. I didn't even ask him if he had the money. It was of recent I realized that sometimes when I tell him, go and give them 4,000, he doesn't really have the money. But he doesn't tell me he doesn't have the money. He just say, okay. So now I told myself this weekend, I need to be, if I say, go and spend the money, I'll say, so do you have it? So, but it is, if you understand what I said now, you can now anchor God's promise of prosperity over your life on the fact that you are a steward. Not that you want to prove to your family that Jesus pays. If you are in this second category, when it comes in the night, you will be shocked like the unbelievers. Because you are not even looking for the coming of the Lord. You are not looking for the return. Now, we'll come back to this. Second service, now I told you. Okay. I will make up for this time, second service. I will preach. But take this one. Because I realize, sir, that after everything Jesus said, go back to that scripture. That's why I took us to Luke 8. Everything, please hear me. Everything Jesus said, everything Jesus taught, Jesus weighed it, measured it, and said, Pastor Barra, that the max that you can ever... I'm looking for a speck of dust, something that looks like a seed. You know, Jesus said, no matter how much I teach you, that which you are able to appropriate can only be likened to a seed. And that gave me concern. Why would you spend 3 hours, 6 days, the Sermon on the Mount, teaching and teaching, and yet you told me that my capacity at this moment will not rise above a seed? That means that from every word that is spoken, there is a center, there's a center point where that word is projecting from. If I can get that central point, every other thing that was said, we find I will get it. Like as I'm speaking now, if you're expecting me to preach 3 hours, I've left that camp. You understand? I've left that camp. I have nothing to prove to anybody. That I know. I forget. Because there are people preaching and beating their wives. In fact, there are some that is the wife beating them. I'm not joking. When I say these things, you people think So what that means, that if truly I have heard God, like as you are listening to me now, if you didn't come to listen to me but to listen to God's word, what happens is that as I am teaching now, a seed is being put in your hands. Now that seed, you will know it because it will resonate. There is a part of your spirit that resonates, that comes alive every time God's word is being spoken. So when I speak now, then all of a sudden, maybe somebody just like, maybe I should settle down, study God's word afresh. Like I've not really been faithful. So that becomes a central point. Now that is not actually where God is going. There is something that will now be delivered to you when you begin that journey of study. So you see that a lazy man actually cannot follow God. Because God will put demand on you. And just when you think that it's easy to follow Satan, even Satan too puts demands on people. I like my life, I don't like anybody telling me anything. You are a slave. Then the person who said, I want to glorify your name, is a slave. But the scripture says, the Lord's word, bondman, is the true free man. But we are all slaves. In fact, if you feel you are not a slave, that is the first sign of clarity that you have been bound hand and foot. Because the dead man doesn't know nothing. He thinks he's sleeping. He thinks he's having a long dream with his college sweetheart. But he's dead. There are people that dream and see themselves all over the world. In fact, as I'm speaking, as some of you, you've traveled. You are in Japan now. Your plane has landed at Hiroshima. Some of them from, in fact, in the next 2 minutes now, your plane will land in the UK. Because dreams are free. You understand? You can imagine. As I'm talking to you now, I've even left. As I'm talking now, I have landed at Australia. Sydney. I'm in Sydney now. Now, listen to me. When God's word is applied to your spirit, your spirit responds to it with a knowing, with a prompting. But when it gets to the soul, it goes to the mind and begins to call forth other information, knowledge that you have known before but you discarded or despised. And it will be agreeing with what you are hearing now. Then when it goes into your emotions, let's assume that what you are hearing about is to have the readiness to do the will of God. You will just find that your emotions become tender towards obedience. Your emotions become tender because you can go to meetings and they will tell you that your soul is evil. Your soul is what you make it. One brother was praying, Father, remove this thing from my life so that I will not commit adultery. God, remove fornication. In those days, those were major prayer points. Because we didn't want to disappoint God. Say, Father, Father, Father. Then God answered in my soul, if I answer this prayer, you will not marry again. The desire to marry will be removed. You see, that thing is part of why you want to marry. If I remove it. So go back to the word and find the provisions for survival. So, posture. And the way that you align with the word of God, we determine the kind of seed, and not just the kind of seed, the quality of the seed, and not just the quality of seed, the capacity for harvest. Because some hate the word, they fell on good soil in Luke chapter 8, but some produced harvest of 30. Same soil. Some produced harvest of what? Of 60. While others produce what? 100. I am trying to deliver you from spiritual prostitution. So that when you want to settle down with God, God can bridge your spiritual life with your secular life, with your marital life. It's just a flow for you. It's not when you come to church, God, calm down, calm down. But you've been coming from somewhere. And that song you are playing on your car radio, has nothing to do with this thing we are talking about. But you just, some of us just have a way we switch. We switch so easily and we think God understands. God already knows you have no seed in your hand. Now, this is the idea. If truly I have found God's word, I don't know if somebody is getting blessed this morning. If truly I have found God's word, the evidence will be a token. That token, I'm leaving that meeting, but I'm leaving with that token. It's not something anybody can take away, because once you find it, it finds you. So you hold it. Now, what now happens to your life is not really that seed. It's now where you plant it. What you do with it. This is where most of us fail. That's why you can find a sister that prophesies and speaks in tongues, but dresses like an harlot. And for her, she's giving glory to God. You can see, even she may be a pastor's wife. She may be. But you look and say, there's something wrong here. So that we now confer pastorhood or whatever on you, don't mean nothing. You understand? When I was in Sokoto, most of those ladies who wear the hijab and all, many of them take it off at night. When they come to our hostels, where I was lodging as a copper, they take it off. Because there's no way we can appreciate what we are talking about. If you have this thing on, this mic is giving me signals again. Maybe I should change. Is this okay? Are you with me now?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Okay. This feels more like me. We've been friends for a while. What I do with the seed. Because when Jesus began to speak to them and they came and said, "Sir, we don't understand what you said. We heard you. We heard you. But we don't understand." That means as long as understanding is not administered, you are not different from the person who didn't come. In fact, if anything, you may become an educated destroyer of the intentions of God simply because you heard something but you didn't lay hold on. The Bible says lay hold on eternal life. That means even the eternal life has been administered to you. What do I need to do? That one is another message. But we'll come there. Because I assure you, next year, we will teach. We will teach. We will teach. And then when you are tired, we will teach. I asked Pastor Toby last night. I said in our churches, if God asks us, give us 5 people that I can send to nations, who can we point to? That we will not be afraid, we will get missing. The moment you can't answer that question, then your work has been judged. The moment we cannot raise sisters who are willing to marry a brother by the word of the Lord, by the will of God, and for God's pleasure. And everything is still based on what I like and what I want. Not that God doesn't really respect what you like, but when it really gets down to what, how he operates, he doesn't look at those things. So, you may be a believer, but you are in the outer court. So in the outer court, people do all kinds of things. They wash, they dance, they sing melody, they have nice equipment and instrument, they have stage light, they have all those things they use, they have even small screen. We use it, you know, those things are good. If I have, I will buy. But if I have money, I will buy. But what I have found is that most of the time they become replacement for the authentic glory. So you can be in a church and you only find light on the stage. They will turn off the light. You've not seen those kind of meetings. So it has a psychology, it's a subliminal effect on your mind. It's not the glory. So you should be able to look at something that is not really written in black and white in the Bible and say there's error here. There's error here. You won't see it in the Bible that when you are guarding, turn off all the light. But the Spirit of God witness say there's a problem. They are trying to mind control people here. And that is where most of you like. Because when you go to a place and they administer the word of God, that's why people who say they cannot come to church because they are tired on Sunday, they get jobs in places where they close 11 p.m. God has a way of balancing it. I'm not joking. The seed is the word of God. When I actually lay hold
of the word of God, the evidence will not be that revelation. It will be a token. Then God watches what I do with it. So what do you do when you have a seed? You go back to the farm, which is where? Your heart. And begin to administer. There are some, depending on what you are planting, there are some seeds that cannot be introduced directly to the soil. You will go to a nursery first. If your own ministry is a 3-month destiny that you are carrying, like corn or maize, no issue, just put it there. But when your destiny, like Catherine Kuhlman, God has seen that from age 50, your destiny will become significant for the next 25 years. You will now wonder why God is hiding you. I did a research online. I found that Elijah died about the age of 51, 52. Elijah, as he went to be with the Lord. Now, this man was kept for the better part of his life, hidden. God did not permit him to marry. So if Elijah saw his childhood friend, and then his children came, "Ah, Uncle Elijah, we miss you. Where have you been?" "Ah, we are in the mountain there." "So Uncle Elijah, where are your children?" "I don't have any." "He said, why? I don't have any friend. I want to be your child's friend." If you are not solid in your resolution to walk with God, that is there you'll be asking, "But wait. What about Sister Veronica? All those ka-ka-ka. You know, you just like, ah, what about Tobechuku? What about, ah, but wait, oh, it's not like God, we have godly sisters now." Then God will not be watching. Do you see why many times God doesn't have to take your permission to be deliberate about cutting you off from people? They will just, he will command all of them, "Stop calling him." Then you'll be angry. When we are planning convocation, "Pastor Gwenga was always calling me." I'll call and say, "Koredi, what are we doing? Koredi, what are we doing? No, we cannot do it like this." He said, "Yeah, Pastor Gwenga, actually, you know, he was managing me." But but I really enjoyed working with him. You know, "I want to work with you again, sir." My chairman, governor, we are going for governor now. You know, very lovely man. So we I was calling him. He thought we had he already feels we have a sense of destiny. All of a sudden, I blank out. If they call me and say, "Why did you blank out?" I don't even know. God took away the willingness to pursue anybody. He took it away like this. Then went to him, took away his own. So it just happened that over time, we stopped checking on each other. But you now notice that in that moment, God did not leave me to be hanging. He called me to another place and said, "Be praying here." People don't know how God works. They want the Bible to act drama for them. They will not appear like Elijah. It don't work. Because a greater than Elijah is here. You read about Elijah, you are almost asking yourself, "Is this thing still possible?" Yet Elijah did not have the Holy Ghost. The seed is the word of God. When you've, when you put that thing in a nursery, my time's up. I will come back second service. If Pastor Ayo comes in this morning, we will share. But I'm suspecting something else will happen. So it's okay, doesn't matter. When you put that thing in the nursery, there's something you call control environment. You know, when you are doing research, there's something you call test pilot. And then there's the live environment. Test pilot, you want to see how that particular specimen will react under certain controlled environment. You take away all the extraneous variables or intervening variables. External variables, those things that are outside but can have effect on the result of that research, or intravenous, there are things that are around that research and can be influencing it. Because people say, "I don't hear God," but your best friend has not heard God for 17 years, and the only basis of our conversation is the latest movie. But we are all born again, and we speak in tongues when there is a need. It's very easy to tell those who speak in tongues and those who only speak in tongues when they are on stage. Don't worry, it's a formula. So when God gives you the seed, Then you will now look at the seed. Is this seed a mahogany or is it a corn? What you will, your determination of that answer is what will determine how you should even respond to that word. Because if truly you receive that word and you found that it was a mahogany, you cannot plant it. You will go on retreat again. That God, this thing you said, you need to give us more light. You need to give us more illumination. Meanwhile, your friends who came to the same meeting found the same thing. And then they went and planted immediately. And the thing started sprouting. But you sense that there was something about this word that was not just the scripture you got when God spoke to you. That there's something about this word that has to do with your future. That has to do with destiny. Then you go back to God and say, Baba, you need to breathe upon this thing again. So your friends are wondering why you are not, those your friends who have your Netflix plus password, they are wondering why you've not renewed your subscription. It's mahogany. It's mahogany. They are wondering why. Then you will now begin to understand that when God really wants to train you, one of the methods he employs is the method of withdrawal. Then you, in the process of pulling you from this, you will start having withdrawal syndrome. You know, when you smoke and are trying to give up, be feeling like a pounded yam. You know, when I wait on God these days, I have this thing for amala and begiri. I'll just be seeing it. Not like I'm imagining. I'll be seeing it like this. Then I'll be wanting to rush to school. You understand? Sometimes the lecture is not holding, but I just want to be the first to partake of this thing fresh. You know? It's like, you're having to say, hey, you know the way you feel? That's the way your spirit is responding. When people look at you, they're like, I don't know what's wrong with her. I don't know what's wrong with him. Any smart, he'll be doing one kind. You are responding to the demand of heaven. You are not used to being alone. So now you will react. When God tells you, don't go to that place again. Don't go to this place again. You will not understand. You will not understand because for you, God is just a troublemaker. But when Elijah came out, after nobody even knew he existed, when he came out, the only thing that he could say is, the Lord God before whom I stand. He has lost his name. He has lost his name. He became a man who could speak to the heavens and conjure fire. And when he was about to go, the ground was not found worthy to receive him. So they took him. The next time he came back was when Jesus was around. See the kind of friends Jesus is keeping. Moses, Elijah. You see his friends. You see people that Baba gave authority to come and spend time with him. Yeah, okay, you are bored, Abi. Elijah is coming. Moses is coming. I say this place, people don't understand. I'm sending Elijah now. I'm sending him Moses. But when they come, this is the law. This is the prophet. He said, then they begin to talk. What do you think they were talking about? Scripture. That place you are writing Moses, you know, in the inner court, they discuss. Elijah will say, yes. But you know, the sacrifice must be laced with fire. Then they discuss. So that was what Brother Peter was hearing. He said, Kai, we have to capture this moment. We must raise the tabernacle. Any revelation you build a tabernacle around will become a monument. It will die. Because it's meant to move. Because every revelation, when properly handled, will lead you to another revelation. Will lead you to another revelation. Will lead you. By the time people now come and say, lay hands on me, I want your anointing. You are, in your mind, you're asking from where? Because is it the 7 years I spent when God did not permit me to marry? You want to talk about? Or is it the 8 years where you are engaged to a lady and you wanted to sleep with her and God told you if you try it, you are dead. But you saw your body going there and then you find yourself trying to come back. Restrain the power of restraint. That it is in that place God will allow you to suffer, not because he cannot provide for you, but he wants to create a controlled environment for your tongue, so that when you are in a place and they are serving so many things, you are no more like that. I used to be like this. I'm no more like that. The word of God is not just that book in your hands. It is when God uses that book to actually talk to you. If there's any reason why you are not changing your life, it's because you have heard. But the token, the seed, has not been delivered to you. So you have many quotable quotes. You have many things you post online, on Facebook, on Instagram, on WhatsApp. I'm the king's kid. I'm favored today. But those things are not tokens of, they are not seeds in your hands. They are things even Yoruba and Krishna people, they say. It is just that you say yours in a Christian way. That is why you even don't have any restraint. That is why even when your altar is covered with ashes, there is nothing. We'll come, we'll pray tomorrow. We didn't pray today, we'll pray tomorrow. Because there is nothing happening there. But if you are truly planted a seed in the nursery, your mind will be there. If you have a fishery or what do you call that, a fish farm, you'll be going there to check the fish. You'll be going there to see what is going on. The seed is the word of God. That was the first place Jesus started from. That is the verse I've been trying to explain. He said the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. It is what we plant. That is what the enemy sends like a bird to go after. Every time you come to God's house and you hear the word and you step outside the gate and you cannot remember, just know the birds have come. They have come. Every time you hear a word and nothing resonates in your spirit, just know the birds are not far away from you. They didn't wait for you to get up. While you were sitting, you were sleeping in the Holy Ghost, drowsy in the Holy Ghost, and they came and they picked it. Don't look at it like something far. The birds are here. You can't bind them. You can't cast them out. God has given them permission to walk in His ministry. For those who will not incline their hearts to the word of God so that they can be like Christ, God permitted the best to come and take it. That's why I can be telling people you are free. You are free from today till 1845. They will not see it. Because the word must first become one with the earth. It must become one with your heart. It will now die. It will now unify. Then out of it, first the blade or the ear, then the blade, then the full blown corn. So we must unite with the word of God. Hallelujah. So this is a call to you to take responsibility for your spiritual progress. Come on, say amen. So every time God spoke in scripture, you will find that after such a declaration, many times the angels will begin to sing. They'll begin to say, "What is the Lamb? He's filled with excellence. He's filled with this." I mean, there was a particular brother in our church in Lekki. And this is where the work of a pastor comes. I was sharing this with you. I don't know whether it was you or Pastor Desmond last night. And I said, "Look, very particular brother in our Lekki church that I brought to the church. Every time he comes late, and when he comes late, he sits in front. He will come and sit in front. And when he sits in front, as Pastor Egotome is preaching, he will start sleeping. And he doesn't sleep in a professional way. He sleeps like he wants to sleep. His head will just, you know." So I became concerned when I even came to preach there. And he still came under this anointing and he still slept. Then when my wife came, he now slept. I said, "It's a serious matter." So I now called Pastor Egotome. "You are his pastor. I hand him over to you. I don't have anointing for sleepers." Say, "I rise, old sleeper, but I don't have." So I give, go and do something about it. It continued for months until one day the guy just started staying awake. But no prayer, no nothing. He started staying awake. Pastor, I go to me and said, "This guy wants to break my heart. He will still sleep." The guy stayed awake. Started coming early. And one day, while Pastor Egotome was preaching, he just said, "Pastor, the Holy Ghost is talking to me now." The word has been trying to find an entrance. Like when water is trying to break through a wall and it's coming and it's bouncing back. It's coming, trying to find a spot. All this agitation is because God is looking for an entry point into your life. And he keeps pushing until one day the boy stopped and said, "The Holy Ghost just spoke to me." "Bro, what is the Holy Ghost saying?" "No, he told me to give this particular brother a TV set." And he said, "You say God told you." Both the person giving the word and the person to receive the flat screen were confused. But the word, the Lord has spoken. It's called hope. Why do we keep preaching? Because we have hope. We have hope that the one that is weakest amongst us, one day will become a mighty army. We have hope that those who are blind, one day they will begin to hear the voice of the Lord. We have hope that those who are not filled with the Holy Ghost, one day they will sit here and they will say, "Thus hear the Lord." Hallelujah. Hey, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh, yeah, oh. Says to us, it is good for a man to bear his yoke while he is young. That means there is a time in God's agenda. If you have not learned to bear your yoke, it will become increasingly difficult. And this is the time. You see, when you hear the word yoke, don't go far and begin to think about your personal aspirations or whatever. Jesus said, and he taught us, he said, my yoke is what? It's easy. He said, my burden. There's a burden, sir. He said, but it's light. So any gospel that takes away the yoke, takes away the burden, has taken away two things. Number one, it has taken away the message. It has taken away the cross. Is somebody here now? I said it has taken away what? The message and the cross. And these two things account for the release of God's glory and the release of God's power. Without it, it's not church. So, okay, we'll just crash this meeting into the second service so that I can allow Pastor Ayo to come up and then bring, let's celebrate our